Welcome to Tax Justice Warriors, a podcast that celebrates the work of low-income taxpayer clinics and talks about issues related to tax news. I'm your host, Omid Farouzi, professor of practice and director of the Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic at Temple Law School. So we're in a series now in the Tax Justice Warriors podcast of interviews I conducted with colleagues and students of mine at the Temple Law LITC. This episode is an interview of my student, Ginny. She was a student of mine in fall 2023.
Ginny, tell us about yourself, what year you are, where you're from, and why you decided to take the low-income taxpayer clinic course at Temple Law.
Okay. Hi, everyone. My name is Hyo Jin, but I go by Ginny. I am originally from South Korea, and then I moved to U.S. in 2018. In 2018, of course, no one knew COVID would happen. So my life in New York City was fun. It was just adventurous until COVID happened. So a year or two of just living in the city, not doing much. So I just left New York City, decided to go to law school. Now I live in Philly, Philadelphia. I'm a 3L at Temple Law. And then the reason why I decided to take the low-income taxpayer clinic is that during 12 summer, I worked at a law firm that does some sort of tax work, but it wasn't specifically tax work only. So I really wanted to learn more about it. So I decided to take the low-income taxpayer clinic. And my experience at other clinics were great as well. I really liked the hands-on approach that I could enjoy as a student. So that's why I took it.
And in the last few months that you took the course, what were some things that you learned that surprised you or that were unexpected?
So I liked the course because it didn't require students to have taken tax law, tax one. So I was like, okay, this is the place to learn more about the tax in general. One thing that really surprised me was I really didn't think there are so many tax issues that low-income people go through. In daily life, I hear richer people saying, oh, low-income people don't pay taxes. Like, you know, I pay taxes more. I pay more taxes because I make more, always complaining. But the issues that low-income people go through, it just was really blew me away.
And what are some of those issues that were notable to you that low-income people face?
Examples?
Yeah, so what were some of the problems that you noticed that people have in terms of their tax issues, whether it be clients that you actually served or issues that you learned about in the course of the semester from the lectures?
Being low-income person, they really have a hard time kind of carving up a couple of hours a day or something just to take care of their tax issues. So time limits and, you know, and tax terms are written in such complicated words. So it's really not easy to understand. So, you know, and also I got the sense that it takes a while for people to hear back from IRS, even though when it's IRS's fault. So I just, you know, thought there was a structural problem there, a lot of limitation.
Do you think that the structural limitations there are ones that were ones that you could try and help people overcome in your role as a student attorney?
Yes. And no, I mean, low-income taxpayer clinic students do help. They, you know, assist clients to, you know, draft the letters or reach out to IRS through a test or, you know, there are all those ways that low-income taxpayer students can help. But I feel like we could always help more. It's just, you know, we did all we could for one semester. And then, you know, from now, I'll be more mindful of what people go through and, you know, just read more about them and learn more about them. But I'm really glad I took it.
Was there any case in particular where you were able to achieve a concrete outcome for a client that you were proud of, or that you thought was a good outcome for that client?
Yes. One case I remember was there was an issue. IRS did not interpret the statute to the point that it was more about the date the mail was sent, whereas they just, you know, got it wrong. And just to see how hard it is to prove that they were wrong and we are right, it just took them, you know, multiple communications and, you know, a couple of weeks or something. That was devastating and interesting at the same time. And, you know, just proving the reality of clients, like, oh, this is, these are their dependents, and, you know, all those factual matters, it was interesting.
So did you find that the communication with your clients taught you anything notable or valuable about the specific life experiences of people in poverty and the stresses that they face, even just kind of beyond tax, like generally speaking?
So, yes. Many of them, most of them were very appreciative of the work we did, and I felt great for doing something helpful for people in need. And then it was natural for like one or two clients that to be, I guess, annoyed to face their tax issues. They already are going through a lot of troubles. And then on top of that, to have money issue, which can be very, they can be very sensitive about. But I think it was very worthwhile to communicate them about them, because it's a problem and we could help to solve it. And that's a great use of, you know, using your legal education, I thought. So, I have so many people who don't have legal education in my life, and they just associate tax matters with accountants. They don't really know tax law, policy. They think it's something that's distant from their daily life. Whereas as someone in law school working in tax clinic, I think it was good to be mindful of, you know, it's not just about paying taxes. It can be policy matters. It can be like social disparity, structural inequality, and all that. So, I also come from social studies major. So having seeing the intersection of everything was great.
Were there other classes that you took in law school that you think helped you with this LITC class?
Yes, I took community lawyering class, which is about getting the public benefits for people, SSI and disability, you know, SSDI and everything. And big difference between that and this was, you know, IRS was very money. You either have your savings taken away by the IRS or not. So I think people are much more sensitive clients, whereas getting the public benefits, in at least in the cases I've handled, no clients had anything taken away from them. It was getting something from the government. So I think that was a big difference in the attitudes of the clients to, you know, towards the agencies.
Right. And they're both similar in terms of like dealing with administrative agencies and safety net issues, real livelihood on the line. Mm-hmm. So do you feel that you now want to go into tax at all, or do something that's in this realm, or what is your what do you think you might want to do after law school, and what kind of work would you want to do as an attorney?
So I came to law school not knowing anything about the tax, or I've only used one tax app to pay my own taxes, and that memory makes me realize I really didn't care much about tax. I was ignorant too. But now just being more mindful of, you know, taxes, I guess, you know, how much I'm paying, what the government is asking me to pay. Is it all, should it all be just blindly justified? Should I ever question it? So even if I don't end up going to tax specific work, I think I'll just be more you know, curious about how, you know, let's say whatever tax policy they introduce, I think I'll be very interested to see what comes out next.
So are there any other observations that you had about the semester that you want to share, or any particular experiences or classes or subjects that stood out to you that really left an impression on you beyond what we discussed?
Before taking LITC, I didn't know so many law schools have LITC. So I think it's great. I don't think it's like that for other clinics. So, you know, having that sort of consortium initiatives in law schools, I think that's already a big step.
Yeah. Yes, and that's a good point. I mean, just here in the Philadelphia area, we have the Villanova Law Low Income Taxpayer Clinic as well. And then in Pittsburgh, across the state, we have a low-income taxpayer clinic there at University of Pittsburgh. And of course, there are LITCs across the country, and many of them are in law schools, which is really good and allows for people to get really good education about something that is just so fundamental to American life. Death and taxes, as they say, are the only two things that are certain in life.
True.
So I think it's a really important thing that we do. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed your experience in the clinic, Ginny, and thank you for your hard work on your cases. And the one case she mentioned, I should say, is one where she actually helped somebody get a refund, who her refund was held up because the IRS didn't process a tax return, because they said, well, they did process it, but they didn't give her the refund because they thought it was filed outside the statute of limitations for the refund, when really it was filed before the statute of limitations for the refund and even received by them before then. But for some reason, they didn't give her the money. So Ginny got TAS involved, Taxpayer Advocate Service, and ultimately was able to get the money for the client. So she did a great job there, and we're really grateful for her assistance and for her work. And she makes a great point. You make a great point, Ginny, that was something that just highlights how ridiculous it is that you even have to jump through those hoops. I mean, it's good that TAS got her the money, but if the IRS had just done the correct thing from the outset, she would have just gotten the money from filing the return. And by the way, the reason she even had to file a return way late in 2022 is because she realized someone else claimed her kids, and also she was misclassified as an independent contractor. So you had a few things going on there that she didn't realize until later when she came to our low-income taxpayer clinic. So that's why the return ended up having to be filed by us, and it was filed much later than the 2018 return initially was due, back in 2019. But it just shows you that this is something that is multifaceted, and there are all kinds of issues going on there. And then once you even have done the thing you're supposed to do here, which is file that return, you still have issues related to that are going to happen. So you're absolutely right that there are so many barriers and hurdles that people face that in many ways are ones that are particular to low-income people, it seems like, things that a lot of rich people and big corporations don't have to deal with in their lives.
Right.
Well, thank you so much for your hard work, and it's been great having you in class.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for listening to Tax Justice Warriors. You can visit our website at taxjusticewarriors.com. Please leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. The views expressed on this podcast are not official opinions of the IRS, the Low Income Taxpayer Clinic Program, or the employers or people who spoke on this program. Your tax situation is unique, so do not take the statements on this program as legal advice. Consult with your tax professional if you seek specific advice. There are now three things that are certain in life: death, taxes, and your subscription to the Tax Justice Warriors podcast.